Okay. Only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first... There. The last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com. Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial. And up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Astonishing Legends Network.
The views and opinions expressed by hosts and listeners on the Astonishing Dead Letter Office are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Astonishing Legends Productions, the Astonishing Legends Network, or any affiliated entities or guests.
When something unexplainable happens to you, it can make you feel isolated or alone. But trust us, you're not. For over a decade, you've been sending your strange stories to Astonishing Legends, and now it's time for our fellow Legenders to hear them too. Join us weekly in the vault beneath Blanket Fortiana, which we call the Astonishing Dead Letter Office.
Tonight's episode, Peripheral Presence.
Okay, so this dead letter bait and switched me a little bit.
Oh, well, what do you mean by that?
Well, Chloe, who sent it in, she starts out with Greyfriars Kirkyard, which right. was one of the earliest episodes we did that it actually freaked me out pretty good because that one involved a priest who went to, I think it was to exercise one of the vaults there where Bloody McKenzie, and he died within a month of going there. And I was like, what? This story is like... This is a paranormal story that had a real world consequence for the guy. Of course, everybody's like, oh, well, he had heart problems and all that. But that was a freaky story. It really stuck with me. It was one of my favorite, like, early paranormal ones that we did. So anyway, I wasn't ready for it, I guess.
I had seen a interview where it was a documentary that had a recreation, or I don't know if it had the real guy on camera, but they covered that. And he had a heart. Well, he was scared enough. I think it either triggered a heart thing or whatever it was. triggered the heart condition, heart attack.
Yeah, it was strange. And also, I remember, too, that we had some fun on sound design, but we hadn't dialed it in yet, so it's a little bit... We were doing that thing where we were so totally, like, stopping the show to play sound design sequences. It was very clunky. And a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine from Scotland, did some... Scottish
That's
voiceover.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
it was
right.
fun. But anyway, well, yeah. One of the things I said after that episode was that the one place I didn't actually ever want to visit was Greyfriars Kirkyard. But I'm actually past that phase of my paranormal journey. I got to say, if the opportunity presents itself, I'm good to go check it out. I'd be interested in going to see it.
Yeah, you have been on a, well, we both have been on a journey. And at this point, I've been wanting to check out something that was older than anything in America. I certainly have not been in the East Coast or New England, of course. That's getting older, but we're talking much older, of course, in Europe, obviously, and some of the ancient spirits there. And it's been a long time since I've been on a good old-fashioned ghost hunt. They're a lot of fun. You'll see the appeal when you do it.
No, you've done more than me. I'm envious.
Yeah, but what happens, I think, is that one of three scenarios where – you go there as, well, Sally House, where's the bookstore? Let me just buy some tchotchkes and we'll be on our way. This will be a lot of fun. And we'll say, yucks. You go there expecting something and nothing happens. Or you go there not expecting anything and then something happens because that's the trick. That's
Which
the,
is what happened trickster. To me. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We weren't, well, we were in such a rush. We weren't really expecting much. But then something does happen. Or the other is that you go ghost hunting and it's a grab bag and it's small things or big things. And what I mean by that is that on the ghost hunts I've been on is that you'll get little bits of things happening. You ask a question and a REM pod goes off and the skeptic will say like, well, it's just picking up something. You know, somebody moved something. You went too close to it. But really, electronically, those things shouldn't be happening. Or the SB7, the broken radio, as they call it, will pick up something mentioning your name. And it's like, well, that's just a bit of a radio broadcast. It's a coincidence. And so you get a lot of little things that point to something there that's kind of confirming. But rarely do you get something flying at you, like perhaps in this story.
Yeah.
Again, you can write this all off like, well, that was weird. That's probably a coincidence. But when it's obvious to me and there's something that happens towards the end of the story that seems very obvious to me that it's a message, then it's hard for me to ignore it, trying to be open-minded about it. But
Well, I hope that maybe when, you know, we have a lot of circumstances going on now that prevent us from traveling, but I'm hoping when that stuff kind of settles down a little bit, my son's getting older and our other responsibilities lighten up. Maybe you and I could go across the pond because I know we got a lot of listeners in Scotland too.
Absolutely. I would love to go visit those folks and those locations and just kind of soak it up. And sounds like a trip and a trip we should plan for, my man. And also, I'm also very curious to see how your son, if he's willing to go along, how his attitude has changed now being a jaded teenager. Like, yeah, what a bunch of baloney, like watching The Exorcist, like, this is so fakey, man. And like, just, well, wait till you live it. Anyway, okay, well, let's read Chloe's dead letter, and I believe it's your turn now, sir.
Hi, guys. I'm a big fan of the show, so I thought it would be fitting to share my experience with you both. My name is Chloe George, and I live just outside of London. I used to consider myself a skeptic when it came to the paranormal because there hasn't really ever been much of what I would call viable evidence when it comes to ghosts. I am, however, a massive fan of the origin of supernatural stories, lore, and the deep and dark parts of history, which is why I ended up visiting Edinburgh back in February of 2017. My two colleagues and I went on a haunted history tour. This isn't something new for me, as I've gone on excursions and trips like this both in England and in Ireland. Our first stop was the Greyfriars Kirkyard, which, as you know, is allegedly haunted by a ghost called Mackenzie that attacks visitors. Nothing happened. Our tour guide made us jump. We laughed it off, blah, blah, blah. Well, we then visited the Edinburgh Vaults. I'd like to know that I knew nothing about these before I visited them. The history of the vaults is super interesting, as they were forgotten about for years. They were a part of the Old Town area, which still has a street that you can visit underneath the city, Mary King's Close, also haunted. During the 1990s, some drunk students realized that their wall was hollow and smashed it in, and this was how the vaults were rediscovered. Well, as soon as we got to this area, I got this feeling of dread, which is something I've never experienced before. I felt unsettled, almost as if I wasn't supposed to be there. The four of us entered the vaults, and the guide started telling us about what the area we were standing in was used for. While he was talking, I could see out of the corner of my right eye a man dressed in a cloak and hat. He had curly, graying hair. He was about 10 to 15 meters to the side of me. At this point, I'd like to reiterate that I had no prior knowledge of the vault's history. I secretly told my friend Kelly that I could see a man, and she told me that she felt someone watching her. I double-checked with the tour guide if there were any actors on the tour. He assured us that there were none. I've been on various tours across the UK before, with and without actors, so I know there wasn't anyone jumping out on this one. It was serious. The tour guide then went on to tell us about a watchman who patrolled the area and wore a cloak and hat. Now, obviously, I was frightened as I could see him out of the corner of my eye, but when I looked directly at the spot he was standing in, there was nobody there. I later found out that he hated blondes, so maybe that's why I could see him. I've since dyed my hair brown, so it would be interesting if I saw anything with my new hair color. My logical self would normally dismiss all of this, but as I had no previous information on the history of the vault, it was incredibly weird for me to see him. I was shaken, but decided to continue with the tour. My group had a good mix of people in terms of belief. Matt was a complete skeptic, and Kelly a full believer. We walked past a room, and suddenly I could smell pressed flowers or perfume. It was strange because, as you might imagine, the vaults are incredibly dingy and moldy. The tour guide informed us that this room supposedly has a banshee living in it. I can't fully explain what I experienced, as I'm someone that isn't a full believer in ghosts. It could have been my mind, but honestly, I don't think it was. I will hopefully be going back to the vaults next year to see if I experience the same sort of thing. Oh, and one more strange thing happened after we returned to our hotel. Kelly's necklace was thrown across our room while we slept. This necklace has never fallen off in the 10 years she's owned it. It's probably a coincidence, but still incredibly strange. We certainly didn't hear it hit the floor. You'd think we would have heard that. I don't believe in the power of rocks and crystals, but her necklace did have a protection stone in it.
Wow. Well, a classic ghost tour experience, and one where, as we were talking about before we read the story, where you go there and you're not really expecting to see anything, maybe you're skeptical about it, and then something happens out of the corner of your eye. And once again, we've talked about this before, there is the theory that why it's in the corner of your eye has to do with the length of the rods and cones that make up the visual sensor inputs from your eye.
I just want to say I love it when we're, and this happens to me too, when we're expounding on something that we really don't know anything about, like how an eyeball works.
Well, I've done my fair share of article reading, sir. And I did understand the concept. And the reason I like that is because it is a scientific explanation possibly for something that is a supernatural or paranormal phenomena that people, oh, it's so stupid. Everybody sees it out of the corner of your eye. Then you turn to look at it. It's not there.
Yes.
And there may be a scientific, biological reason for that.
Yeah.
And we've heard that from very close friends of ours. Wait, talk about the Wayback Machine for us. Our friend Mark and the Laughing Indian. And was it his mother that was seeing British redcoats out of the corner of her eye?
That's right. When she was out gardening on their land in Woodstock, New York, she would be, and they had a big piece of property there. She would be working in the yard and she could sense it up in the tree line.
Yeah.
It was very clear to her mind that there was a red coat there.
Right.
But when she would turn to look right at it, she couldn't see it.
She couldn't see it.
Look away and it would reappear in her peripheral vision.
That's what's going on here. And that's why I like that. And I think as she turned her eyeball too, sometimes it would track.
Right.
It would still be there. There's something's going on there. And I like the idea that there's a real world biological aspect to that. Why we can see these kinds of things rather than people saying like, well, ghosts are just, you're seeing infrasound somehow and it's a gray blob. Well, obviously it's not always a gray blob. Sometimes it has curly gray hair. So in this case, I love that you go in there with kind of an open mind, but you know, still skeptical, not expecting to see something. And then you do see something and you get your money's worth. But I'm not clear if Chloe had heard our episode on Greyfriars. Did you get that sense?
I don't know. She didn't. It's kind of funny because she didn't mention it. But, you know, this is one of the older ones. We're starting to get new ones in now, too. And they're going to be coming up shortly. She actually sent this in back in 2018. This is a pre-COVID story. So not sure she did. I would kind of think she did, but it doesn't come up in her story itself. You would think she would have been like, oh, I listened to that one.
Yeah.
And maybe made fun of me, you know, because I was like, I'm never going there in that episode right. all those years ago.
Well, so. Then, sure. But also, I feel less bad about repeating myself as happens as you, as one ages.
Oh, yes.
Because you may not
have
heard.
We're old enough, there's a lot of repeating ourselves, you know, and of course, all the super, super negative comments I see whenever I accidentally go to our reviews. Most of them are very positive. Thank you very much. Yeah. By the way, folks, if you get a chance, please leave us positive reviews anywhere you can on whatever platform you're on, especially when there's been ones lately that are just like, oh, the show's fallen off since it started and all that kind of stuff.
we've been getting those since we started. Like,
yeah, I know.
What
have.
Are you falling it's like off? It's episode 3. What are you, really? Were that bad out of the gate?
But that's my thing is I used to be really self-conscious about the repeating, but now that we got 10 years worth of stuff under our belts, there's a lot of people that won't have heard the older stuff, which is, by the way, if you do enjoy our programming, you can get to all of our earlier episodes. There's over 300 now. I got to check on that, by the way. It used to be 300 was the limit that you could get to on iTunes anyway, on Apple Podcasts. I think it's gone up to 500 episodes since then, but then we had to start taking them off. But as of right now, every show we've ever done going back 10 years is still up there. And of course, with the Dead Letter Office being 52 shows a year, that we're going to get pretty quickly. We're going to get to that episode limit.
Yeah.
But we'll find a place for him when it gets to that, obviously.
Well, the full oeuvre is there if you care to hear it. And I don't expect everybody to hear everything. I certainly just can't lose that much time out of my life to do it. But people, a lot of people seem to go through.
By the way, I don't know if we've ever said it on an episode of Dead Letter here, but if you're a patron, you get access to the Dead Letter Office on Sundays, a couple of days before they drop on Tuesdays, and they're commercial free. So if that's something you're interested in, that's one of the perks of being a patron at patreon.com/astonishinglegends.
Well, there you go. And you get a little tidbit here with history in these DLOs. Why don't you tell us, for those folks that aren't real familiar with Irish folklore, what a banshee is. Certainly we've heard the term, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we've talked about banshees over the years on our main show, Astonishing Legends, the main show, but they're such an interesting concept. I love them. I'll take this segment here that I believe we got from Wikipedia. In Irish folklore, a banshee is a female spirit often appearing as a wailing woman whose cry foretells the death of a member of a particular family. They're associated with mourning and the supernatural world.
Right, but here's a different thing about crying at funerals. I think people have heard them supernaturally, like off in the distance, people have claimed to have heard crying. But also, as the old tradition was, you could hire people to cry at your funeral, or family members would, if it was a thin attendance.
Well, yeah, you would go to like banshees.com and you go through and different people would have little videos up there of themselves wailing, and you would pick the one, you would swipe right or left and then have a banshee come to your funeral. No, I'm kidding. But I guess it's a misconception that banshee or people that call themselves banshees could be hired. Or professional mourners. That did exist in some cultures, but those are different from the folkloric banshee.
Oh, yeah.
The banshee is technically a supernatural being, not a person. That's
a boding of ill will, or just a foreboding sound, apparition, presence, a spirit that, death is coming for someone.
Yes.
And remember Darby O'Gill and the Little People, a Disney classic? I think there was a banshee on the – I haven't seen that since I was a kid. But something on the roof and he throws a lantern at it.
So
there you go. If you don't want to see any of this kind of stuff, I know it sounds facetious. My best advice is just bring a camera and full recording gear, because they all appear to be camera shy. And or sometimes you take video or photos of it and it just doesn't show up. So not a 100% guarantee, but – definitely. That's my point about when we did the intro for this story, that you go there fully expecting to see something and you're armed to the teeth with your ghost hunting gear and then not much happens.
The more you bring, the more ready you are, the less things happen. The trickster component is real. And by the way, that's something I think we need to cover soon on our main show, because we've always talked about it and never actually covered it. But we'll have to get that book, The Trickster and the Paranormal. But
absolutely.
Maybe that'd be good for our next episode, actually. Something to think about.
Oh, that's a good idea. Well, in the meantime, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Edinburgh Vaults?
Yeah, so we learned about these when we covered Greyfriars Kirkyard. Pretty fascinating. This excerpt's from Wikipedia. The Edinburgh Vaults are a series of underground chambers located beneath the South Bridge in Edinburgh, Scotland. Built in the 18th century, they were originally used as shops and workshops. They fell into disuse and were largely forgotten for centuries, becoming associated with dark and mysterious stories. Rediscovered in the late 20th century, some areas have been restored and are now open to the public, primarily for guided tours that often focus on their history and alleged paranormal activity.
Alleged.
The vaults are considered a significant part of Edinburgh's subterranean history. Yeah, the word alleged, that's our big gripe about Wikipedia.
Well.
They got to really point out that it's pseudoscience and alleged. It's not real. They go out of their way to do
as
that.
As long as they're not wiping it clean like the guerrilla skeptics of Wikipedia.
Yes.
Just like, it's like, let us have the fun. I mean, you can point out that it's pseudoscience, blah, 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 but don't scrub the whole page, please.
Yeah.
But there you go. And I've always been fascinated as a kid even about underground cities or places that have been built over as someone, you know, who grew up in the Pacific Northwest. You heard about the city of Seattle has an underground city where it's just, it was built over the top of it. It's like, ooh. And now they give tours, of course, but it happens quite a bit. And it happens throughout history where the generation that survives after that just builds over the top of it. Or if it's a historically, especially religiously significant area, or I guess like Constantine's mother.
Yes.
You build a temple over the top of a sacred site, like the burial, supposed burial site of Jesus, and to preserve it, but you're building one site over another. So that exists. It's just down through the earth, literally.
You know, it's funny you should mention that because just today I was out running some errands. I was in my car and I actually had NPR on. And I heard a story about a discovery in London just today. Now, as we're recording this, by the way, on February 13th, 2025, and these archaeologists in London have found the remains of Londinium's earliest known Roman basilica. This is a significant discovery dating back to 78 to 84 AD. It's located beneath the site of a planned 32-story skyscraper, and there's a remarkably well-preserved foundation of a large two-story building, part of the Roman Forum, and it reveals the city's, Rome's early development and investment. And I guess the developer is going to incorporate the findings into a visitor center, probably reluctantly. They're probably being forced to do that by law, is my guess. But this discovery is considered to be one of the most significant in years. It's a crucial link to other Roman remains scattered throughout London, which they founded. And it offers a valuable insight into the daily life of Roman citizens. So I guess further excavation is going to be done, but it sounds really cool. And I guess there's a what I heard in the NPR story was there was a big, big chunk of wall. And one of the things that the reporter said in that story was that they had known that parts of this were in different areas there. I think it was, if I remember, it was about 5 or 10 meters down. I'm not positive. 13 feet, it says here in this one article, actually. So that's the other thing that's fascinating to me about stuff being built on top of stuff and on top of stuff. And this is also a theme in a show I'm watching on, God, I think it's on Apple TV. It's called Prime Target. This is a fictional series about a genius math student who is trying to uncover a pattern in prime numbers. And it's all tied into global security, et cetera. But that also, the beginning of that centers around something being uncovered underneath an existing structure in Baghdad.
Right.
So these things are all over the world, but it's always interesting to me how deep things go down. Like, I don't understand how cities, I guess, is this anthropology? How cities get...
Archaeology and anthropology, because it's
just
the
get
people,
built
the state
up,
of the,
and up and
the
up and
up.
Yeah. And you don't have a sense that you're on the roofs of old buildings because you feel like you're at ground level. It's like, how does that happen over the years where you're not even aware that you're walking above a pre-existing city?
Well, now you've tapped into one of the big ideas about ancient prehistory and ancient advanced civilizations, Graham Hancock territory, but also proven out to in real world scenarios like Göbekli Tepe.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get into ancient aliens territory as well, where those sacred sites, what we remember from our episode is that, you know, they're built, it's tremendous amount of engineering, no matter how they did it or if they had any help from off world entities or whatnot, or themselves, or they just had the engineering skills at the time to figure that out. But, you know, massive 17, 22-ton stone slabs erected, carved, all with significant meaning and tremendous effort for some purpose, aside from, you know, growing grain and being hunter-gatherers, that it meant something to them. And at some point, what's known is that the temples became less and less elaborate, like that knowledge was fading over the decades and hundreds of years. And eventually they were filled in for some reason.
Yeah.
Purposely. Yeah. In that it either didn't serve them, something was meant to be hidden.
Right. You
want to
squash
later.
The ideology or the religion or the, there's lots of different reasons.
It was to preserve them.
Yeah. Or preserve. Yeah.
For the future generations.
Right. Because you're facing an invasion or a siege or something and you're worried about it. Like if you think about all the damage that ISIS did, that, you know, there were –
I
know what, before ISIS, one of their big attacks several years ago, I know folks were going around and trying to 3D, get 3D and LIDAR images of structures that they felt would get destroyed. So
they've ruined so much the city of Palmyra, and just because it doesn't fit their narrative. And so tremendous destruction. But then you have natural erosion anyway. There's a great Kozkasak, the In a Nutshell. Remember that great video series where they explained that if there was a civilization 100,000 years ago, it would have been naturally swallowed up by the earth. The earth takes all. That it would be so far down, you'd never discover it or know where to dig. So just imagine what ancient cultures, if they, and I do believe there was advanced societies, not saying any of it's alien or alien spurred, just that people could have naturally had advanced technologies at their disposal. And eventually that gets forgotten and buried up, and we restart everything. And that's the cycle of life.
It's fascinating.
It is totally fascinating. And it just naturally gets just swallowed up by the earth. And just imagine what secrets are down below. But that also, people have done that too, where I guess it doesn't matter. Maybe everything's ephemeral. But you see the idea of spolia, where you have a sacred site that gets destroyed. Or people said, hey, you know what? I got to build my house with these marble statues. So you crumble it all up, or it gets destroyed. You use those old materials that were sacred and ancient and historical to somebody to build your new hut.
Yeah.
And that's the idea of just using materials and humans being themselves, being resourceful. But that's also why people claim that some places are haunted, because it was a very spiritually active site, and you've now crumbled it up, and it's now a piece from some super haunted place is now your mantelpiece.
Yeah.
No, that's like the Hellfire Club. There's one site, I believe, that some materials were taken, and it's like the oven out of, was it Flight 400? Flight 401.
401, yeah.
That oven supposedly has been used in other airplanes, and people have seen faces in it of some other crew members on the original flight.
Yeah, folks, if you're curious about that, look for our main show episode 160 from November 2019, The Ghosts of Flight 401.
There you go. So that's the stone tape theory, or the haunted objects theory, and that we as humans imprint our vibes onto objects, and they're still there and probably still in the ground. So when you go to a historic place like Greyfriars, all that is just there, soaked up into the landscape and the objects and the materials and the stone. And when you go there, it just releases again. Or people are just kind of wandering around with no sense of time or space as ghosts, ready to scratch you. Now, the freakiest thing that I've heard of is the, I don't know if we interviewed this person or they wrote into us, but somebody being grabbed on the ankle and seeing the white fingerprints, the impression of fingers.
We talked about that in our series on Greyfriars.
Yeah, that story where the skin was whiter where the handprints were.
Yeah, there was a handprint with fingers on her ankle.
With fingers. The spot was cold to the touch. And over the years following, that spot would never tan.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
freaky.
Yeah, that place is definitely spooky. And like I said, I'm willing to go check it out now. I probably do want to go in the daytime, but I'll go. And but also Edinburgh, just it's amazing. There's a lot of really great stuff there. We've heard a lot from listeners over there over the years, and it seems like an amazing city. So, well, Chloe, thanks so much for sending your story in. Write us back if you did wind up going back with brunette hair. I need to drop you an email, because usually I'd like to warn people that their story's gone into a Dead Letter Office episode. But I've not been great at that lately. So I owe people a few emails, and I'll try to hit you up. But every person's journey to paranormal belief or continued skepticism about it is only for them. It's up to you to decide if all these things were just coincidences and hallucinations, as you hinted at. But the question you have to ask yourself is, when does the totality of your experiences begin to actually sway your beliefs?
The Astonishing Dead Letter Office is hosted by Scott Philbrick and Faris Burgess, and is executive produced by Tess Feifel. The show is edited and mixed by Sarah Voorhees-Wendell at VW Sound. The theme is based on the Astonishing Legends theme by Judson Crane at Founder Music, arranged by Alan Carissia, who composes all the other music in the show. Tommy Beaver Design created the logo. The announcer is John Bowman. That's me. Stories are lightly edited for length, content, and readability, but otherwise presented as they're sent to us. We're always looking for more dead letters, so if you have a story of your own you'd like to share, email it to deadletteroffice@astonishinglegends.com. Please include how you would like to be credited. First name only,
first name, last initial, anonymous, a pseudonym, let us know. Due to the number of emails coming in, we often cannot respond, but we do read them all. No part of this show may be reproduced anywhere without permission. Copyright Astonishing Legends Productions.
The clock's running out on December deal drops at Lowe's, but there's still time to wrap up something they'll love. Shop great gifts under $50, like the DeWalt Elite Series 100-piece bit set. Plus, if you order by 2 p.m., you get same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Shop December deal drops while you can. Lowe's. We help, you save.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
We know no one's journey is the same. That's why Delta Sky Miles lets you do it your way. From earning miles on reloads for coffee runs, shopping, and things you do every day, to connecting you to new places and experiences, a SkyMiles membership fits into your lifestyle, letting you do more of what makes you, you. It's more than travel. It's the membership that flies, dines, streams, rides, and arrives with you. Every great journey deserves a great story. And when you have a membership that's as unique as you are, there's no telling how your story will unfold or where that journey will take you next. SkyMiles is the membership that will be here for all your big and small moments. The membership that's there for every solo adventure or family trip. The membership that comes with the power of partnership from brands you love. The membership that moves with you. Learn more at delta.com/skymiles.
What are you reaching for? If you're a smoker or vapor, you're definitely reaching for nicotine satisfaction. But you could be reaching for so much more with Zyn nicotine pouches. When you reach for Zyn, you're not just reaching for nicotine enjoyment. You're reaching for the freedom to explore 10 flavored and unflavored varieties, each available in 3-milligram and 6-milligram strengths. When you reach for Zyn, you're reaching for the ability to live life on your terms. Instead of stepping away from good times, you can lean in. And because Zyn is smoke-free, you don't have to think about lingering smells or worry about clunky devices. When you reach for Zyn, you're reaching for opportunities to break free from your routine and membership in a unique nationwide community. Whatever you're reaching for, reach for it with America's number one nicotine pouch brand. Find yours in wherever nicotine products are sold near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, there, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.